It's time to tip off the college basketball season.
Tip in! Ball game!
From Green Bay,
the 10th head coach in Green Bay men's basketball history, Doug Gottlieb,
to Madison.
Blackwell is just in another world right now. Right now he's on fire.
And Milwaukee.
Marquette Leonard, Sweet 16!
This is ESPN Wisconsin Coaches Week, featuring Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard, Marquette head coach Shaka Smart, Milwaukee head coach Bart Lundy, Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb. Here's Alex Strofe.
ESPN Wisconsin's Coaches Week rolls on with a first-time, first-year head coach up in my hometown. The Green Bay Phoenix fly into the Horizon League action under new head coach Doug Gottlieb is my guest now on ESPN Wisconsin Coaches Week. Dougie, how's the first 6 months been, man? I asked you this a couple months ago when we caught up. Have you been sleeping? I'm worried about you.
Yeah, I sleep. but a lot of my sleep I'm putting off for when I'm dead. Then I will sleep really, really well. Take a big dirt nap, and I'm hoping 45 years or so.
Yeah.
So, no, I've been sleeping. you know, fall has really helped. Got the little bit of wind whipping off of the bay that helps me get to sleep every night. It's like my own personal white noise machine.
There you go. Yeah, the personal white noise machine of the tundra. Welcome to the tundra has been your catchphrase. Is that based on the Guns N' Roses Welcome to the Jungle? Is that where you get that from?
Yeah, plus it's like the frozen tundra, right? Like Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra, NFL films, right? If I had one of those deep gravelly voices, like that would be super cool. So, yeah, we have a couple. We have Welcome to the Tundra. Our team motto is Walk the Walk. We get into that. We only recruit OKGs. So, you know, just little phrases that we like to use that help us lock us in on what our stated goals are for the type of people and culture we want to build.
OKGs, okay guys.
Our kind of guys.
Got it. Okay, I like that. I like that a lot.
Easy test is this: like, if you can't hang out with our coaches, with our players, and like feel like we've been friends for a long time, then you're not an OKG. That's it. Really, really simple test.
I like that.
We're usually about, you know, you're about the same things. You're a good hang. Like, that's honestly a super important part of building culture within a program. Because if you don't want to be around people, this ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's too small a town, too many hours together, it's too cold outside. If we don't want to be around you, if you don't want to be around us, then this ain't going to work. OKGs only.
I love it. I love OKGs only up in Green Bay. So bring me into the last 6 months, Doug. I mean, obviously this came together late. You were hired in May. You were introduced in May. You had to hit the ground running fast, building a staff, recruiting guys, whether that be through the portal, whether that be, you know, high school seniors for the upcoming years. How has everything come together for this rendition of the Phoenix, the 24-25 team?
Pretty good. You know, I had a secret scrimmage, thought we played well. For the most part, had some things to clean up. Obviously, we shot the ball really well against St. Norbert in our exhibition game, and we're healthy-ish, sort of, going into the season. And I think all of our guys are confident. We're, as a staff, pretty hopeful. We know, by and large, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. Right now, you're like, man, they all like each other. And they seem to like us. Now, they probably like us a little bit less once we start playing games, just because I can only play five and we got 18 dudes on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm realistic about that, but respect us and respect how hard we work. And they like each other. They're a good group. So how's it all come together? In terms of wins and losses, I'm not in the prediction game, but I like my group. I like what we're building. And I think if everybody's understandable about how we put this together late and how it's going to grow and where we want to be once February, March comes around, I think that's what's really important.
You've obviously coached before, and that's something I think you don't love when people say, well, you've never coached before, because you have, right? You've never coached a Division I program, but
I don't hate it. I don't care. I think that people who don't know basketball, and they it's really hard for them to connect in their brain. Like, what, you haven't coached in a college basketball program, how can you coach college basketball? Like, totally, it's actually understandable. But I think basketball people would go like, oh, okay, well, like, he's covered the game forever. His dad was a coach. His brother's a coach. He coaches AAU. He coaches other stuff. Like, yeah, it kind of actually makes a whole hell of a lot more sense. It's not like I was an accountant.
Right.
and I was like, hey, you know, I had a midlife crisis, and I bought a Porsche and drove to Green Bay and got a job, right? Like, that's not what this is.
Great point.
So anyway, I'm not pushing back on it. Like, I don't care, but I just think I love it. And I honestly, when we had our scrimmage, I think the other coach was a little bothered by the fact that we were probably a little bit further along than his group. And like, I was coaching 14-year-olds in AAU up until the day that Josh Moon called me. And, you know, how is that possible? So I also, here's the other part. I don't do all the coaching, right? Like, just so people are aware, head coaches don't do all the coaching. They just don't. If they do all the coaching, that means they don't trust their staff. That means they're terrible to work for. And that means it's probably a flawed way, in my opinion. My opinion, it's a flawed way to have a program, because you're not allowing your systems to grow. So, yeah, I don't know everything, and there's a lot I don't know, and I'm learning as I go. But I like it. I give quotes to these guys every day, and one of the ones we circle back on all the time is walk quietly and carry a big stick. Teddy Roosevelt, right? Mm-hmm. Is, hey, end of the day, it ain't about me. It's about the players, and they got to be in the right. And my job is to put them in the best position to succeed. But the same is true for my coaches. So I don't do all the coaching. I don't know everything. But yeah, I've coached a little bit more than the layperson might think.
Alex Strofe, Green Bay coach, Doug Gottlieb with you, ESPN Wisconsin Coaches Week. So I set that up because I'm curious, as you enter your first year as the head coach of the Phoenix, are you a bulletin board material guy? Do you see that the Phoenix are picked eighth in the Horizon League? Are you putting that up? Are you using that as motivation? Are you a bulletin board material guy?
No.
Okay.
No. No bulletin board material has ever won or lost a game.
It's true.
And if you need to, I actually, like, I don't even know how you would do it. How you would, like, Ken Palm had us, like, in the 300s. Like, that's great. How would you know, Ken? How would he have any idea? Right? How would he have any clue?
Yeah.
He doesn't, you know? And by the way, you know, the guy who's going to lead us in scoring played NAIA basketball last year. Now, basketball people be like, oh, he's a bucket. He's pretty good, you know? But you have no sense of how we play, what we're going to do, who our players are, you know? So how could I care? I would probably pick us dead last because, again, you have a lot of players who haven't played Division I basketball, or if they have, they haven't necessarily had a ton of success. You have a coach who's never coached a game of college basketball ever before. And you're at a place that, though they were fairly successful last year, the year before, they're the worst team in Division I. So it's not like there's been some long history of success and we have dudes and I'm just showing up and rolling the ball out and hoping they do well. So, like, who am I to say, like, if you're doubtful, it's completely understandable to think we're going to stink. And that's great. That's fine. That's why the expression is walk the walk. There's nothing I can say, Alex, to you or to anybody that's going to convince you, because you have to see it for yourself.
Yeah.
So we don't need to talk the talk. We just need to walk the walk. Show people. And then hopefully they come to the games and they show up the next time. And then they bring a friend. And then the next time. And the next time. And then guys like you are like, you know, these guys might know what they're doing. Or maybe we don't. But no, I don't. There's what's the bulletin over to you? Who cares? I don't.
I guess I ask that because, you know, you're in a national spotlight still every day. I think sure. It's hard for you to ignore the outside noise. Not saying you take it in and acknowledge it, but more so you're around it, right? It surrounds you. You see that you're eighth in the poll or whatever it is. Because given your other line of work, right, you're still hosting a national radio show, you're hearing that outside noise more. And I think that's interesting when I'm talking to guys like Shaka Smart and Greg Gard, and they're like, yeah, we ignore the outside noise. You're kind of in it. So I just think it's a unique spot for you as the head coach of the program.
I love the outside noise. I do. if you're talking about Green Bay basketball, like, isn't that a win?
Totally a win.
It's totally a win. Like, who in their right mind has talked about Green Bay basketball in the last, since Norgard, you know? And like, look, when I was at ESPN and Wardle was up here, and they were they were really good.
Kiefer Sykes, right? Alec Brown teams, right?
Dude, those are good teams, right? And I remember, you know, I thought they should have gotten in, and obviously, you know, you get an injury in a conference finals and you lose and it's really hard. Okay. But I was the only guy then talking about GB basketball. And since, even covering the sport, I hadn't really uttered the words Green Bay basketball. So the, if they're talking about it, it's great. Now, we don't want to show up and be a clown show, right? We don't want to be the laughingstock of college basketball. And I'm also not going to, I don't want you to talk about us just because, you know, it's not that I don't like the Deion stuff. I just don't like the ancillary Deion stuff, the Shedeur Sanders watch thing, and the, you know, like, that's not me. But yeah, like, outside noise is great. And no, I'm not ignoring it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I have Twitter. I can read the mentions. I got it. That's fuel. That's it. Doubt is, use that as fuel. And the other part is, I'm kind of more built for it than a lot of other people, because being in the media and being somebody who's been strongly opinionated, I've been called everything, you know, like literally everything. And if you follow my, I had an assistant coach who is at one of the most prestigious schools in the country, texted me last night. He's like, I don't know how you do it, just randomly. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I don't know how you actually ever tweet, because I'm reading your I'm reading the comments, and it's crazy. And I was like, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me.
That's good. I mean, you got to be wired that way too. You keep mentioning the secret scrimmage. Nobody's going to hear this until the college basketball season already tips off. Spill the beans. Who is it against?
Northern Illinois.
Okay. And you liked what your guys did?
Yeah.
What's the
so
big
takeaway?
What's the big takeaway when you have a quote unquote secret scrimmage? I mean, you get to see live action. You're seeing live bullets against another team that's not your own, right? What's the big takeaway for you?
Oh, there's a million of them. What we were really concerned with our defense, and I spent most of the summer in our workouts working on offense. We did either 3-1 or a 2-2 in terms of, so you have, we would do 4 workouts a week. Sometimes we do 3, and with a focal point of being offense on a 3-1 ratio, just because it's summer, you can't beat them up. And how we play offensively, I think guys really like, and it's going to be it's a calling card of how we play. And then it has to be congruent with how we play defensively. But our guys really struggle to guard our own stuff. And, you know, every time we scrimmage with our first group, if we do a 20 minute half, they're scoring, you know, 50, 60 and a half. Mm-hmm. And so we walked into it like, can we guard anybody? Now, we struggled to guard them inside, which we knew would happen. But we scored 103 points. And then we played an exhibition game. We scored 102 points. And when I was on about a week before the scrimmage, I called Mike Boynton, who was the coach at Oklahoma State last year, who I was a consultant with. And I said, I don't know if we can guard anybody, but I don't know if it's my offense or if it's my defense. And he's like, yeah, like, use the scrimmage for that. And the other part I've done is, we have enough guys, we have a scout team. And so we started putting the scout team in some of the actions, some of the styles of who we're going to play against. And it became obvious to us that we're a little bit better defensively than we thought. And a lot of it is how we play offensively. So the big takeaway is, the stuff works. It gives them a ton of freedom, but they have to be in great shape to play that way. They have to be disciplined in, there's a lot of good shots, but maybe one more pass is a great shot, and have to be disciplined in the cuts. Cause, you know, cutting is an incredibly unselfish move, because it doesn't just cuts you through the defense, it takes your man through the defense. So offensively, we loved it. And then we knew that how we play, especially against high majors, but if you have a 5 that can't move, you're not going to be able to guard us. You got no shot. And, you know, so many teams are playing the five in the drop. Like, that's just not going to work against what we're doing. So there was that. And then defensively, we were a lot better in the half court than we thought. On the other hand, we really had to ratchet up our rebounding and then just our toughness without fouling in the low post. And that got exposed against St. Norbert as well. But, you know, we'll trade three for two anytime you want. And if you want to play big and try and play bully ball, we're going to do our best to rebound that second shot because you're going to miss. And then you're going to have to guard us. And so our takeaways were we're a little better defensive than we thought. We need to get better on the interior. And that's going to be exposed here, especially against the high majors. And then offensively, I got a lot of faith in what we're doing. And, you know, some of our young guys had to get pushed around. Northern Illinois is really athletic, and they were kind of tough-minded. They battled back to get in the game. But about everything we thought otherwise kind of played out.
Love it. Love it. So your season tips off Monday, and you're tipping off your first regular season game as a Division I head coach. Is that your alma mater, Oklahoma State? That's pretty special, Doug.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. You know, I tell people all the time, and I mean it, my life trajectory changed right when, if you've never been to Stillwater, it's 17 miles off of the interstate. You take I-35 north from Oklahoma City, or you come in on the toll road from Tulsa. And it's 17 miles from I-35. And that's on Highway 51. And when I got off Highway 51, my life changed. And, I think there'll always be people who, for example, this game, they want to make it about, I was up for the job once and I didn't get the job this time, whatever. That's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. First, I have a daughter who goes to school there. My other daughter's going to go in the winter. And then my son is in high school about 40 miles down the road. So a good portion of it is I just want to see my kids and love to have them see me coach. But the other element to it is I love Oklahoma State and those people. There's a gigantic portion of their fan base that has wanted me to be the head coach there for maybe the last decade.
Right.
And this is just a thank you to them. Like, that's really what it's about. Like, hey, this is, you guys all wanted this. I'm starting the process and I truly appreciate it. And I also want to show my team what big time basketball is like, what I'm about, how people think about me, what kind of built me and what made me the person that I am. So that's, I truly wake up with gratitude on a daily basis that I got this opportunity. And I want to share that gratitude with people who mean the most to me. And that those are people at Oklahoma State who've treated me so well. I mean, like, dude, I was a good college basketball player. I know my strengths, weaknesses, and where I truly ranked in the world. But I've received way more than I deserve from Oklahoma State. I'm on the board of governors there. I've emceed events. I'm in different Hall of Fame groups and stuff. I was an above average student, nothing special. But the fact is that they wrapped their arms around me and they've helped me in so many different ways. And this is my way of kind of sort of giving back and showing what I'm up to.
That's awesome, Doug. I mean, it's a really unique opportunity, right? Not a lot of head coaches get that opportunity. So that is fantastic. I saw you got to spend some time recently with Dick Bennett, who means a lot to me because I went to UW Stevens Point. So obviously he was the head coach there and has the court named after him there. Obviously he was at Green Bay for 10 or 11 seasons, brought him to an NCAA tournament in 91. What was that like, spending some time with Dick Bennett? And how's the relationship there with who you refer to as the GOAT of Green Bay?
Well, there's no question he's the greatest. One of his former players said he was Bob Knight without the cursing. And by Bob Knight, he was hard to play for, but also what people forget about Bob Knight is he's in any conversation of the greatest coaches ever. Like, my dad went to school with Coach Knight. My dad was a walk-on at Ohio State when Coach Knight was there. And, he was like one of the greatest clinicians ever. And he, you know, we've talked on the phone several times, we've exchanged messages, and then he came down and we spent some time together. Then we had the event. Then he came to practice the next day, sat in our coaches meetings. He gave us some of the building blocks of success that he believes in. And then he talked to the team. I mean, it was incredible. It was literally incredible. I just wanted to soak up every word. And, you know, there's 18 kids. He's not going to resonate with all of them. Mm-hmm. But if he resonates with a couple, that's enough for us. So the relationship's been great. You know, obviously, our families have known each other for a long time. Right. I don't know if you know this, but I played against Wisconsin in an exhibition game. And he did that as a solid to my dad. And then Tony actually scrimmaged with us the night before in the practice gym. We were getting ready for the game. And then when Tony was at Wazoo, you know, my dad coached Clay Thompson in AAU, mm-hmm. as well as Taylor Rochesty. Those are the two players that helped turn around that program. So my dad helped him go there. Like, Clay had no Pac-12 offers. So there's a lot of ties that bind there. And it was just great to catch up. And he gave us some incredible advice that we're using every day in what we're doing.
I love it, Doug. Last thing for you is, obviously, the marathon really began a couple of weeks ago, but the marathon really begins this upcoming week as you tip off the college basketball season, as mentioned on Monday, at Oklahoma State. How are you feeling? Just overall, right? Like, entering your first season, there's got to be some nerves. There's got to be some butterflies. Where are you at as the marathon really begins this week?
I'm excited. Right? Imagine, like, you know, when you're a kid, and I mean, whatever you wanted to be as a kid, okay, whatever it was, you want to be a fireman, you want to be an astronaut, you want to play for the Green Bay Packers, you want to play for the Brewers, you want to play for the Bucks, okay, whatever it was you actually dreamed of. When I was 13 years old, I went to the Long Beach Arena, and I saw Loyola Marymount the first game after Hank Gathers had passed. And I knew the Long Beach Arena really well because my dad was an assistant coach at Long Beach State, and that's where they played. So I remember going there, and I knew a lot of guys in that LMU team. And when they walked in, the whole place was adorned with 44s, which was Hank Gather's number. And I watched Bo Kimble take three dribbles with his right hand, switch, and shoot with his left hand and make it. And there wasn't a dry eye in the place, and people were holding up 44s. And I remember that was the moment where I said, this is what I want to do. And when I was a freshman in high school, my dad had me write down what I wanted to achieve in basketball. And then he said, all right, turn the page, and now let's write down how we're going to get there. And I never wrote down what I wanted to do in coaching. I just knew that when I went to college, I wanted to do three things. I wanted to play professionally, done that. I wanted to broadcast, I've done that. But I always, always, always wanted to coach. So imagine if you're a 13-year-old kid and you had a dream, and all of a sudden, Monday night, that dream is going to come true. And I'm processing those emotions. But there's no nerves about it, because I think coaching my own son in AAU is harder just because you're like, okay, I mean, I don't want to do this and not play my kid, but I want to win, but I got to play everybody, and I want to see if I can play my son, but also hold him accountable. Like, all of those things I feel like are harder than kids that, though I love them and all of them I want here, like, it's not my own kid, so I don't have to worry about, you know, those lasting kind of emotions. I would say there's a tinge of nerves. There's a whole lot of excitement. There's a good portion of gratitude and joy. And then there's just the energy of, I can't believe how blessed I am at 48 years old to get a chance to kind of restart and reset and do something I've always wanted to do at a place that just wants to succeed in all of the right ways.
When I covered that team in the early 2010s, and we referenced those teams, right? Kiefer Sykes, Alec Brown, Greg Mays, Alfonso McKinney, Brian Wardle, the head coach, there was an unbelievable fan base and contingency of fans in the Rush Center that faded away over years. I think Doug Gottlieb, you and your staff have a really neat opportunity here to bring back that hunger, and you've already seen some of that this offseason. It all gets started on Monday. Doug Gottlieb, the new coach at Green Bay. Bro, this was great. I'm rooting for you. We'll do it again soon. We'll check in, you know, in a couple months, but we're going to let you get your feet under you and get running here.
Get in a car, and get your ass up to the rush.
Yes, okay? Sir. Yes, sir.
Get in the car and get your butt up here, and I'll buy you a steak dinner afterwards.
All right. You got the deal.
And then if you walk away going, that guy doesn't know what he's doing, that's fair. You can get on WTMJ and say he doesn't know what he's doing. But I think you walk away and you go like, you know, they kind of got something special going on up there. That's what we want. And then the next time you got to bring a friend with you, and then bring another, and then have him bring a friend, and then have him bring a friend.
Yep.
That's the goal.
I love that. Doug Gottlieb, really appreciate the time, bro. This is great.
Anytime.